Bono, The Edge, Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen Jr. will control all that you see and hear. U2's Pop Invasion. Pop Invasion.
That's right. They picked that song, for example. Chemical Brothers, you two live in the studio. My name is Jed the Fish. I'm glad you're here with me. And I absolutely love the Chemical Brothers. You guys have any thoughts on how they're actually able to sustain a performance? I mean, after all, the large part of what they're doing is playing back samples and mixing. And usually, you know, when you go to a rock show, you're used to people playing. You know, they got guitars in their hand. They're singing into a microphone. Well, they're one of the bands that don't do that. Do you have any theories on...
My favorite is when you don't know what's going on. Like when there's a band and a DJ around. And, you know, so some of it's played and some of it's not played. I think that's cool.
Like, let's see, who's like that? Beck. I bet Audio Web is like that.
Audio Web.
Beck is like that.
Yeah.
And, let's see, I think Underworld is like that.
Yeah, a little bit. It's just nice when things get mixed up, you don't know what you're hearing.
Fun-loving criminals.
Fun-loving criminals.
Oh, yeah.
They're something else.
Did some dates with you guys recently.
They're a happening band. They really are. Great record.
Astonishing guitar player he is, too. We've had amazing ones. Rage Against the Machine, which are playing with us now in Los Angeles tomorrow night, are just hardcore and just full-on, you know, just in every respect. You know, they give everything they've got. And they've been blowing our people away.
They do. Sooner or later, Zach's going to sprain an ankle. I mean, he is airborne through a large part of the concert there. Yeah.
I think he's going to sprain his vocal. I can't figure out how he can do that as a singer.
Yeah.
The only way you can be that intense is if you're very, very loose.
That's very zen of you, The Edge.
It's true.
That is. I mean, I just want to roll that one around in my mind a little bit here. Okay, this might be a good one to bring up at this juncture. There were reports that you were attempting to limit your drinking on the road.
Yeah, 17 pints is enough.
Can anyone give a pretentious overview on new music in the 80s and 90s? We touched on grunge a little while ago. But,
when it's going to get great is when everything, as I was saying to you just a minute ago, gets mixed up. Like what you're starting to hear in K-Rock, when people can hear some, you know, the Beastie Boys or hip-hop groove next to a pure pop groove, next to, you know, a slamming metal tune. That's when it's, when radio stations start sounding like people's record collections, that's when it's going to get great.
That's good, and there's a lot of diversity right now, and I'm not, I've always had a grudge against people that said electronic music is the next big thing, because I think it's bigger than the next big thing, and it's always influenced what's going on, and it's a really exciting time right now, because there is no trend.
That's the best thing. I mean, we got this word techno thrown around at us for this last record. It was like the word du jour, you know, that everyone, they're making a techno. Fuck that.
I heard that.
Like, what are they on about? I mean,
I bought into that for a month or two.
Yeah, but we've been experimenting with, you know, samples. We've been experimenting with, drum machines and things going back to 84 and even doing remixes since 83. And this word is just a convenient word that's thrown out by record labels to try and encourage the next big thing. It's always been around. Kraftwerk were around when I was like 15 and 16. I bought Kraftwerk and they blew my mind. It's always been there. It always will be there. But what's important is, you know, the tunes. Are the tunes there? And I think they are.
Is it true that you said, I was doing remixes when you were in diapers?
Did I just say that?
No. Have you said that?
Can I have a diaper if I just said that?
Hello there. Hey, James from San Jose. You're talking to you too. It's Pop Invasion here.
This is a real honor, guys. I've been a fan from the beginning. And actually, first, I just wanted you to know that unlike the guy who called earlier and thought that you may have sold out or something, you know, most of your fans don't think that, and we understand where you're coming from.
You know, it's funny, we had that accusation after our first single, and then after our first album, and then after our second, and then after our third. And it's just, it's always the way, if you want to be honest about your ambition, and if somebody tells you, if you meet a band and they say, we don't want to play the LA Coliseum, they're lying. Okay? They're lying. If you meet a band and they tell you, we just want to make clubs for the rest of our life, they're lying. People who won't own up to their ambitions are the reason why rock and roll got very miserable there for a while. And, you know, we're just trying to be honest about the fact that we want to be in the Beatles or the Stones or the Sex Pistols or whoever it is. It's just, that's why you join a band. You know, if you're shy, become a potter. You know, do something else, you know. Do some, you know, do weaving.
James, he gave you a good answer. You happy with it?
That was beautiful. I do have a question, though, real quick.
Oh, of course you do.
I've got a bet going with a friend about what the arch symbolizes.
Oh, yeah, you were going to ask that, huh?
And I was wondering if anybody cared to comment on that.
It's the Arch of Triumph.
Indeed.
No. No, it's not. Sorry, there's just a French thing just went on there in my left ear, and I got confused. Adam, help.
It's a bit of a Star Trek thing, really. You know, it's going places where no band's been before.
Wow! Stellar!
By the way, can I just introduce... I mean, this is Bones, to my right. Adam is Bones.
No, I was
and you can tell who Dr. Spock is.
Yeah, he's pointing to Edge right now. It's Dr. Spock. Monica!
With a cowboy hat?
Yeah.
Dr. Spock and a cowboy. Larry, who are you?
Larry is Kate Mulgrew. All right, Monica from Des Moines, Iowa. You're on the Pop Invasion with U2.
Oh, this is exciting.
I know. It is, and smoky, too. You guys smoke a lot. Okay.
No, we don't, Jed.
Oh, yeah?
Adam does.
Oh,
he's smoking.
Yeah, it's all me. No one else is smoking right now.
All right, Monica, you're really smoking, baby. Do you have a question for you, too?
Yeah, I heard that The Edge was doing a lot with the internet, and I just wanted to know if they have a web page or something up on the net.
Today they have one.
Right really? Now. What? Right now. We're about to give you the call sign. It's youtubepopmart.msn.com, and if you get on your computer right now, you can see some groovy stuff at that.
In fact,
address.
I think can you see this interview?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. We're right there. Hi, everybody on your computer.
Live on the internet.
We're waving to you right now if you're on your computer.
And today is actually the launch of this website.
Oh, that is great. I just wanted to say that you guys, you know, I really don't think you've changed. I think you've made a lot of big moves. And, you know, when a band can do that, they're really going to stay. They're going to be here for a while. So it's great to hear you guys. I've never been to any of your concerts. That's the sad part, but hopefully I'll see you in Minnesota.
Can I change that for you? We'll organize that if you just stay on the line.
Yes.
I sounded really pro radio there. Okay. But I actually meant it because you have the most beautiful voice that we've heard on the station today.
You sound so centered, Monica.
And it's just the way she kind of implied we were the silicon implants of music.
I like that.
All right, Monica, for whoever's going to talk to her.
I was being sincere there.
I think we should look after this lady.
Well, she's online, too, yeah. So you can have your manager, who you pay exorbitant sums to go take a message from Monica. All right. Speaking of,
that's a funny way to fire our manager. We won't see him again.
So, Monica did bring up an important point that I was going to ask you about. I know that for a long time, you've been concerned about being relevant. How do you be concerned about being relevant? And then
concerned about being relevant. We don't have to be concerned about relevance. Who's more relevant? That's what I want to know. It's like, it's, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just the rest of people made it easy for us because they're all turned into folk bands. We're not concerned about being relevant.
No, I mean, like, even 10 years ago. I mean, I remember
we went through an unhip period. Granted. Okay.
It was the worst 2 weeks of my life.
And I will confess that it had something to do with a particular haircut that I had. That launched, you know, a lot of second division soccer players, and it.
That's right. It was kind of long.
It was long at the back, short at the top.
It was kind of like Prince Valiant woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or something like that.
I just want you. I know it was an F, and I know we've been punished for it ever since. But I wanted you to know that at the time, I thought I looked like David Bowie.
All right, a guy named Stephen J. Cannell, who wrote some very successful and horrible television shows over in this country in the last 20 years or so, he said that writer's block stems from a desire to be brilliant. Oh. You guys relate to that statement at all?
Yes.
Yeah?
I wish I knew. Mm. I've never had it.
Yeah?
I've never had it.
No.
I've never had it.
But I suppose if you weren't brilliant,
it's true.
You might...
You're getting at the trying too hard thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting at the trying too hard thing. How do you...
Why don't you just settle down, you two, and just, like, go and get the fish farm in England and stop being hip? You know, I understand that. I have a lot of sympathy for people who just, you know, why can't you just cruise control like all those other dinosaurs? And why... What is the desperate hole in your life that you're obviously trying to fill with all this music? That's what you really wanted to say.
I wasn't going to go there. I wouldn't do that. Actually, I got too much respect for you guys to ask that. But it is really hard to just, you know, set out to do something truly unique, like the Pop Mart tour, and not repeat yourself, and still not be self-conscious about it.
We do. We are sometimes painfully, horribly off, you know, awfully self-conscious, as I do think sometimes we think too much about what we're doing. But the thing, the overriding thing, the overriding reason for that is just the four of us just really don't want to be in a crap group. You know, that's that simple. Because, you know, how would you... It's about self-respect. And I also think, coming from punk, which is, you know, a long way, but when punk broke in the UK and all that, and we were 16 and 15 and 16 years old, there were all these groups that wanted to be put down, you know, and we wanted to put them down. And I think I still have the memory of that, and I think there's people out there who want to shoot us in the head. But I don't think that we... I think the real reason for putting a bullet in somebody's head is because they're making crap records, and we're not right now. But if we do, load up.
I want to play Happiness is a Warm Gun. Do you guys have that over there?
That's a nice segue.
I got a little taste of that from Danny Saber, who's one of the best remixers around right now.
He's more than a remixer. He's in love with his thing, with music, and we were happy to work with him. Very happy.
How did the Happiness is a Warm Gun thing
Robert Altman had a TV series.
Is it still on, or has it gone on?
And he asked us to do the theme music to cover the Beatles tune. I mean, covering the Beatles tune, I mean, that is like sticking your neck out the window.
Oh, so you didn't have the idea to do the song?
They asked us, would you be interested in doing that tune?
Uh-huh.
And we thought no. And then we thought, we just messed with it for a while and took it to a sort of more urban thing. Let's hear it. I'm starting to really bullshit here. I'm really going on.
No, you aren't.
I should go to the bathroom. Is there a pizza?
Oh, yeah, there's supposedly pizza on the way. Let's bring him in here and see what he thinks. All right, this is brand new. This is a world premiere exclusive of U2 doing Happiness with a Warm Gun. Pop Invasion with U2.
Bono, The Edge, Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen Jr. will control all that you see and hear. U2's Pop Invasion. Pop Invasion.
Hi, it's Jed the Fish, and you two are being gracious enough to hang out a little bit longer in the studio. This is our last break, and we're going to take a couple of more phone calls. I don't know if it's too late to get through to 888-POP-1067. But I was reading an interesting interview. I've read a lot of material on YouTube in the past month or so. But apparently Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins did an interview with you guys. What was that experience like?
It was
great.
Is everybody in the band was in the interview? Or
Yeah, I mean, Billy's one of these people that is going to take his thing into another level. He's really... they're an extraordinary group, all of them, and he has an extraordinary imagination, and he's very generous in his support of us on this project. And we're getting a lot of support actually from people, but Billy stuck his neck out early on. And
how did he stick his neck out?
It's a very long neck.
That's right. Guy's like 7 feet tall or something like that.
Yeah. I normally don't hang around with tall people, but I'd make an exception for Billy.
Yeah, he came to Dublin to interview you guys. Are you an admirer of his music? I think he's one of the best songwriters around right now.
He's just extraordinary, and they've taken that search and destroy rock and roll as far as it can be taken, and now he's off, you know, rooting around looking for something else. I think he's doing something with Courtney Love, who I just think is an extraordinary singer.
With Courtney Love?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, he's there's been some misunderstanding about what he's actually doing on the whole album. But I think...
I would carry her suitcase myself.
Well, they're rehearsing this month, so I'm sure you could stop by and carry her suitcase. But, yeah, here in Hollywood. But he's in on the all-important process of deciding which songs to do, helping him out, you know, with arranging the songs and, you know, making sure that they can be performed well before they go in the studio. And I think that is maybe even more important than recording the songs. Although Michael Beinhorn, who produced the Social Distortion album and lots of other stuff recently, is quite good at that too. All right, let's talk to whoever's on line two. That would be Limia from Chicago.
It's Linnea.
Linnea, sorry.
Yes. Hi.
You're talking to you too?
Yeah.
How often does that happen? What are
Not
the chances?
Very. Hi, Ed, Adam, Larry,
Hi.
Bono, on behalf of my friend Jenny and I.
Jenny.
My question is for Ed.
Uh-huh.
I would like to know if you're planning on singing any more songs on future albums.
There is a good singer in our band already, it has to be said. So.
But Larry doesn't want to do it.
Well, just because I can sing doesn't mean that I should. That's the point.
That's not true, the
well,
edge.
I don't agree with that, but...
Well, I don't know, you know, it's a hard call because, you know, I can sing a bit, but...
If the song fits.
This man can sing exceptionally well, so...
I'd trade places any day, man. Just get me those Marshall stacks.
Well, the answer is maybe.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Thanks a lot. Incidentally, one of the most appropriate and exciting images on the big Pop Mart TV screen is a close-up of Edge's guitar. It just seems to be the right shape, and it just... it's just, to me, that's one of the images that really makes the video screen work. Okay.
He wears it well.
Yes, he does. Michelle from Chino Hills. What's
Hi.
Up?
Hi.
What's up? You're talking to you too on Pro Q.
I'm so excited. I just want to thank you for the wonderful music that you have put on over the years. I'm just a great fan, and I just think that you're daring and brave. Every time you come out with something, you totally surprise us, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you.
As it happens, I agree with them. Thank you so much for coming by.
Hey,
doing the Pop Invasion Tour. Now, you guys haven't done radio interviews in like a decade or something. Is that true?
No, well, it's been good. And we would like to pop into a few radio stations, but it's hard, you know, to because when you do it with one, you have to do it with a lot. And there's great stations out there that have supported us. And K-Rock here, we've played our records from day one when we got here. So we're happy to be here. Very proud to be here in K-Rock. BCN was another one. You know,
Boston.
Yeah,
yeah. This where Tammy's from.
So it's just I like this. In fact, I'm not going. you guys can you can take the limo. I'm staying. Where's pizza?
It will be raining.
But do I have to wear short pants? That's just you know, that's the thing.
It's Jedham. I've had a blast with you guys. We'll be right back.
Great. Yeah. This may sound strange. Five. You can't take it with you. Buy everything. Sale. You do. Pop invasion. Will be back.